It's Orlando and Sandy, presented by SCL Mortgage. Here's the great Sandy Clough and Denver Broncos all-decade right tackle, Orlando Franklin.
Rod Sharon and Denver 7's Troy Rankin today for Orlando and Sandy. Joining us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline is our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore. And Matt, the Nuggets will be well represented now in Tokyo as JaVale McGee has been added to Team USA. When we go through the pantheon of the Dream Team and historical members in Team USA history, where will JaVale McGee inevitably stack up?
Clearly right behind David Robinson in the all-time. No question there, boy. Gotta tell you guys, I've been on the, even after the losses in the friendlies, I've been on the, it'll be fine. They'll get the full guys back after the finals, and they'll actually play the actual games, and they'll be okay. But boy, this, between Bradley Beal and Jeremy Grant being out with COVID health and safety protocols, Kevin Love leaving, the replacements being Keldon Johnson and JaVale McGee, like this Team USA may not win this year. This they may not win the gold medal. This is a very realistic possibility they do not make it, even with Kevin Durant.
Two words, Christian Laettner. Bring him.
Maybe it makes it a little more compelling. Hey, Matt, real quick before we jump into the Nuggets, NBA Finals, you can listen to it here on The Fan. We're sitting now at two games apiece. Where are you thinking and where are you looking at this series potentially going, which is now, you know, a best of three between Milwaukee and Phoenix?
Yeah, I thought it'd be a long series. Not surprised the Bucks were able to even the series up. They've been really impressive in terms of just the effort level. Like, it's the finals, you expect them to try. But the way that they were just absolutely going for every single offensive rebound. I mean, they had 21 more shots than the Suns in game four. And that's crazy. They created so many more shots off turnovers and offensive rebounds. But I ultimately think that the Suns with home court advantage, they've shot better from the field. The Bucks half court offense continues to be pedestrian, bordering on pretty gross. So I think the Suns are in a good spot here. They had a bad game four. I think they'll bounce back in game five. And I think they're in a good spot to win the series.
It would seem to me they've got to figure out, though, meaning the Suns, how to get Chris Paul loose, because Jrue Holiday's done a nice job on him. That, if you look at the production from games one and two and to what it's been in three and four, is basically they've halved Paul's production and 17 turnovers, 15, I think, in the last three games. What is the key there for the Suns? Is it pick and roll? Is it try to have Booker with the ball in his hands more? How do you think the Suns address that?
I mean, I think Paul had a bad game four. The turnovers have been a problem that's pretty uncharacteristic of him. There's some speculation that he might have a wrist injury. If that's the case, I think it throws everything into some chaos. But if not, I think it's just like an outlier kind of stretch from Paul. Holiday's good, but it's also taking a lot out of him on the offensive end. Paul also, to be perfectly frank, he led the team in both points and assists going into game four before Booker's huge game four. Paul had a bad game. I think he'll bounce back. He still had 23-9. He had turnovers in game three, but he still had a pretty good game while Booker was terrible. I think CP3 is going to be okay. Jrue Holiday's doing a fantastic job on him, but I think there's only so much you can do against Chris Paul. I think with the series having so many days in between now, I think that Paul will probably bounce back, get a little healthier, get a little more rested, and probably bounce back in a big way. I expect in game five.
Matt, in terms of the health of the league of the finals, because I can see the narrative being written after this is done. Oh, the ratings were disappointing. I know it's up over the bubble, but disappointing because it was small markets and we didn't have LeBron and we didn't have Kevin Durant. And I get it. It's a league that, going back to Magic and Larry, has been built on star power and huge markets. I'm curious your perspective, especially sitting here in Denver, where if you're a Nuggets fan, you might look at this year as hope of, hey, look, we can win an NBA championship in this market. What do you think the narrative will be when this finals is concluded of where the sport goes from here? Is it healthier with this more kind of parity, any market can make it modeled like the NFL? Or, hey, we need to get back and let's cross our fingers it's Lakers and Nets next year?
I mean, I think the narrative always depends on who's writing it, right? I think you're going to have some of the big-name TV folks on the talking head, so to speak, doing a lot of what you talked about in terms of, okay, it was a nice final, it's a good story, but let's get back to the real NBA. But I think this is a good example of how short-term pain for long-term gains in the league, because you do have now franchises like the Nuggets and all these other teams going, okay, well, the Bucks and Suns can do it, so can we. you know, LeBron's not getting any younger, and Anthony Davis is never going to be a guy that you're not worried about injury concerns with. The Nets are probably going to be back next year, but there's a lot of unstable stuff with that team as well in terms of Kevin Durant's health and Kyrie Irvingness. So I think the window is kind of open, and I think that that's better long-term for the league to build up these franchises and give them a reason to invest. The other part of that, though, is they're going to have to address the regular season. It's half the battle is, I think, getting different fan bases to believe that there's an opportunity for them to win. The other half of that battle is making it to where the games feel like they matter in the regular season when they've never mattered less. There's stuff the league has to fix, but I think overall, in the long run, I think this series is going to be good to the league.
As it relates to the Nuggets, we all believe, like, they're a contender. I mean, they get Jamal Murray back. It may not be right away, maybe, you know, a couple months into the season. What do the Nuggets need to do? What does their offseason look like? Is it a wrinkle here they iron out? Or should what should fans expect over the next few months before the season for the Nuggets in terms of moves on this roster?
The first big news comes Saturday. Will Barton has a player option for next season. If he does not opt in for next season, that creates more cap room but also puts them in kind of a bind. They're going to have to find a replacement for Barton in the starting unit that will keep that unit as good, especially with Mark Murray out. They're going to need shooting, scoring, some athleticism on the wing. And this is not a great free agent class to find value. And so that's going to be a big decision. Jamichael Green also got an opt-in, I think, later this month that we'll have to take a look at. You got the Michael Porter Jr. extension. Everyone's kind of expecting a max for him. Then you got Aaron Gordon, who is eligible for an extension. He's due to be a free agent in 2022. We'll see if he signs one. If Barton comes back for another year and they get the Gordon and MPJ extensions, the team's pretty much locked in, and then there'll be moves on the periphery. If the Nuggets make any sort of significant change in the offseason, it's going to be, you know, a veteran guy that comes in on the wing, probably on a short-term deal. Don't expect major fireworks, barring something unforeseen. There are an opportunity, I think, to start adding veterans instead of young guys. Of course, there's also, we'll see what they do with the 26th pick in the draft.
Matt, last one, and you and I have talked about this, but I wanted to kind of share it publicly on the fan, of this concept or idea of, could the Nuggets look to replace Paul Millsap if they're looking for some scoring off the bench with a certain veteran forward who shot 41% from three last year with the Portland Trailblazers?
It's going to be interesting, I think, based off of what happens with Portland. There's a lot of instability now. So, you know, Melo is wanting a chance to compete and be in the playoffs, maybe win a title. Portland's looking less and less like the kind of places that can happen. There's always been, if you ask around, there's always been like two different ideas on Melo, which is like, hey, don't rule it out. You know, it would make a lot of sense in some ways versus, no, he doesn't fit the culture. He doesn't fit the team. He doesn't really have that much left. There's not really anything that he does that would be good for them. I think under the right circumstances, I could see it happening. I don't see it as likely right now based off of where Melo's at, the options he'll have after rebuilding his value, I think, in Portland, and then what Denver's looking for. I think it's going to be tough to make that a reasonable fit, but I'm not willing to rule it out. I don't think that the front office is adverse to the idea of Melo coming back for a final reunion tour.